From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs, and you know what? It feels like it's been a while. I am one of your hosts, the least esteemed of the hosts, as always, Seth Kaiser with The Athletic, and today I am joined by only one of my very favorite people in the world, Chris Clark. How you doing today, Chris?
I'm great, Seth. How are you?
You know what? Life is good, man. I'm having a fantastic week. This has just been like, it's just been a great week. I could go into a million things, but it's just been a great, great time, man. You know, it kicked off perfection. Although, I mean, you know, I guess perfection would have been like a 100-1 beatdown in Denver. But, you know, watching an all-time Chiefs win, and I believe this will go down in history as an all-time Chiefs win with your kiddos. I mean, it just doesn't get better than that, you know?
Yeah, and I have to admit that I am very jealous of you because I did not have my daughter for that game.
Ah, sure.
But I will say, I do think that I disagree with you on an all-time beatdown would have been better 100-1 because to me, 100-1 doesn't show what we saw from Patrick Mahomes.
That's very, very true.
In this game.
That's very, very true. And I know, you know, there's obviously a ton to talk about. We're going to preview the Jags game, and that's important. But this is, yeah, I haven't been around as much this week, and that's my fault. I'm sorry for that. But, you know, I haven't gotten a chance to
schedule.
Yes.
Schedule kind of does that with the Monday night game.
It does. It really messes with us. But, you know, I haven't had a chance to talk a lot about Patty Mahomes. And so this week I obviously wrote an article on him. And, you know, you referenced that, like what you saw. And I'd love to hear, you know, obviously I wrote, you know, my usual, you know, 3,000 words with a million video clips and stuff over at The Athletic, which, you know, just on another side note, if you haven't subscribed yet, come take a look. I'm telling you, some of the stuff that Nate Taylor's doing, some of the stuff that I'm doing, I think you'll really enjoy it if you enjoy what we do here. But anyway, I know what I wrote. I'd love to hear your thoughts first because I haven't really chatted with you about it all week. What did you see that was so valuable to you on Monday?
Well, first off, I do want to say that if you are not subscribed to The Athletic, Seth is correct. You will enjoy it. And I think you'll really enjoy his article from, I believe it was Tuesday, talking about his kids being able to see what is probably going to start being called the Mahomes magic in Denver as opposed to the Montana yeah. magic. Now, what I saw from that game, it comes away, I want to say twofold, but maybe even three. There were multiple different facets of that game that it's really hard to describe what you saw from that game in certain aspects, I guess is the best way to put it. Because you look at the first half, and the offense looks disjointed. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's just not running on all cylinders. Mahomes did miss a few throws. But he also had drops, and you had Travis Kelce that just had an abominable half for him. And I think he would even admit it was an abominable half for him. Only three targets. He didn't catch any of them. And I think most of them hit him in the hands, and they would have been hard catches, but you would expect him to come up with at least one or two of them. And Sammy Watkins goes out in the first half, and I think that really changes the offense. So I'm hoping, and at this point when we're recording this for Friday, we still do not know whether or not Sammy Watkins is going to play. But I do believe he is a bigger part of this offense than we give him credit for.
Right. Well, he's got the ability to do certain things that Chris Conley yep. can't. Conley's not nearly as explosive, and he's not as good at beating man coverage. And that was desperately missed, I think, against Denver. Watkins can win consistently one-on-one in a way that the Chris Conley and DeMarcus Robinson just can't. And he also, you know, he's been a bigger part of the running game than people imagined. And so some of like those quick screens and even, you know, a couple of, you know, a little running action that went to Conley, I think those would normally go to Watkins, and he's a lot more explosive. And, you know, I think Andy Reid, he's a game planner. And what you saw was his game plan kind of go awry right out of the gate.
Well, and I will say this on Watkins. I almost hate saying this because I like DeMarcus Robinson as a player. But his, not necessarily just the first half, but this, even into the third quarter, reminded me a lot of the Denver game last year. His drop in the third quarter in the end zone, you can't drop that pass.
Yeah, that was rough. That was arguably, and Mahomes made so many great plays. That review, I think I marked him down as having, like, it was 12 plays created, and 171 yards created, which is, you know, when a quarterback, when the play doesn't go right and there's no one open initially or there's pressure and the quarterback just makes something out of nothing. You know, usually you get maybe like three or four of those in a game, like six or seven in a really good game. The number he had, it was unbelievable. I think I charted 11 franchise quarterback throws. It was incredible. But that play might have been his best play of the night. And it's all for naught because Robinson dropped the pass that I could have caught.
Well, and I think that Robinson's not on the field in that pass, and it's either to Conley or Watkins in that situation otherwise. And I think either of those guys catch it. And I know DeMarcus said on, I think, Tuesday that, you know, or maybe it was Wednesday, that 9 times out of 10 he's going to catch that ball. But he has just missed some of those bigger catches that you just cannot miss. He did come back and get a great one on the second and 30 play, which I do want to ask Andy. I would love to be able to ask Andy Reid, you know, what do you have in your playbook for second and 30?
No, I'm sure there's – I doubt there's really anything in the playbook for second and 30. I saw someone report that they heard a couple of the receivers say to each other in the locker room, like they were talking about Mahomes was just saying, just go out there and run routes because it was too loud to hear each other in the huddle. I have no idea if that's true, but holy crap, I hope it's true. Because, I mean, you know, how do you defend that? If you got a quarterback that can make things happen, hey, just get out there and run routes at around, you know, you run around 10 yards, you run around 15 yards. I mean, that would be amazing. I agree with you.
I was just going to say two stats I want to talk about real quick. First one, Patrick Mahomes has a 91.7 QBR rating throwing left-handed, which is better than half the QBs in the NFL right now throwing right-handed. that was an amazing play. The thought process to be able to have that play was amazing. Second, I don't know, did you see the stat I was talking about on Tuesday about sacks?
I'm not sure.
Patrick Mahomes has been sacked 5 times this season for a total of 11 yards. He has 109 passing yards per yard lost on a sack. Alex Smith last year lost 6 yards per sack. Patrick Mahomes is right now at 2.2. I contend that is a huge reason that the offense is doing better. Although, even if Mahomes was at 6 per loss, it's not going to hurt him near as much as it hurt Alex in years past.
Mm-hmm. I think, I mean, there's something to be said for that. The plays where Mahomes has been sacked have, generally speaking, been ones where he's kind of made his way up to the line of scrimmage. They had to chase him around forever. It was a whole deal. And, you know, Von Miller touched on that. He talked about, and Chris Harris talked about that, that they felt like they had to cover forever because they just could not get to him. And even when they do, it's like a 1 yard loss, which, hey, a 1 yard loss isn't good. But generally speaking, for most quarterbacks, a sack is a 7 or 8 yard loss. It's a huge difference in what it does to you in terms of play calling. And those are a couple of great stats. And I mean, Mahomes, it's interesting because the stat line does not do justice to what he did Monday. And it's in the article and I wrote about this as I was reviewing the film. And I know we need to take a break shortly. And this kind of is going to color my analysis of the Jaguars game. When I reviewed the film, I kind of expected to see, hey, you know, Mahomes struggled a little bit in the first half. That's why the offense wasn't really on. But when you turn on the film, like those passes where, you know, maybe he skipped a couple into the ground, no one was open. The Broncos played extremely well. They were very disciplined in their coverages. They did a really nice job. Overall, I mean, I was really surprised. I didn't think it would be possible to play coverage that well on the weapons that the Chiefs have. Now, again, I think having Watkins out helped, right? Because, I mean, he left after that first drive.
Right, and part of it, too, in my opinion, is that the Broncos were playing like this is a playoff game or a Super Bowl because they have to.
Yeah. Yeah, they were definitely up for that game, and Chris Harris Jr. admitted that. And so the reality was, I mean, the Broncos played incredibly well. And so when I went back and rewatched, I don't think there's more than a half dozen snaps that Mahomes probably wishes he had back. Honestly, I think he played better against Denver despite, you know, not getting all the gaudy scoring stats. I think he played better against Denver than he did against the Niners. I think he played better against Denver than he did against the Chargers. I think maybe, arguably, he played better than he did against the Steelers because it wasn't right in front of him. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so I know we got to take a quick break. And so, but that's something I'd really love to talk about in terms of with the Jaguars defense too, because that's going to color how this week goes.
Yeah, let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk about the Jaguars game that is coming up on Sunday. All right, Seth, so before the break, we started talking about how Patrick Mahomes played against Denver and how it maybe looked like he didn't play near as good as you're saying he looked like he played. I'm not going to disagree with you that I think he played a good game. I haven't been able to go back and watch the film to see how many throws I think he missed versus what was there.
But right.
I will say that this Denver defense, I think, looked fantastic and better than they have the past several weeks. And I have a really hard time believing that the Jaguars are going to be much better than what Denver was because of how sound Denver's scheme was.
Right. Well, here's the issue, you know, because a lot of people talk about Jaguars have a faster defense. They've got better corners overall, better pass rush, and they do. These are all true things. That is a beast of a defense. The problem is there's eventually a cap, right? You can only play defense so well. You can only have such tight coverage. And part of it isn't just about athletes. It's about scheme. And the Broncos did a really great job. I charted, you know, one of the things that I chart is flushes, right? Pressure that occurs before any wide receiver is open. That forces the quarterback to scramble, bail, or get sacked. And I charted 19 of those in the Broncos game. That's a crazy high number. That's way higher than any game Alex Smith played last season. Any game, no matter what game you're thinking, there were like eight more in this game. And so it's tough for me to imagine the Jaguars are really going to be able to knock or to create more pressure than that just because it's so much, right? And then there's the coverage side of things. A big part of coverage is scheme, and that's what we're seeing with the Chiefs. Even though the corners are playing individually all right, scheme matters. And when you watch the All-22, and I encourage you to take a look, guys were covered throw after throw after throw after throw, and Mahomes got it done anyway. And there's a cap to how well your defense can play. And I just have a hard time seeing the Jaguars play that much better. Now, maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe we'll come out of that game saying, wow, I've never seen a defense like that. I'm perfectly willing to accept that that could happen. But the Broncos had a good scheme. If you watch, they actually had Von Miller playing contain at times, waiting for Mahomes to scramble to his right. Like, they clearly game planned for what Mahomes does. They game planned for it. They did it well. They were disciplined. They blew up three or four screenplays. Like, say, like, you know, that third down long distance incompletion to Demetrius Harris that was a potential pick. You remember that one?
Yep.
Well, when you watch that on film, they were setting up some kind of screen that Denver blew up. And so the reason he hucked that 40 yards down the field is because it's a punt. It's third and one. You know what I mean? It was interesting because so that's why like things like that where I thought, wow, Mahomes made a bad decision there. He made the only choice available to him. So he gave Harris a chance to make a play or worst case scenario, it's a pick and it's basically a punt. And so I just – the more – when you go back and watch that game, he played unbelievably, Chris. Like I've run out of expletives, you know, or superlatives or whatever. I don't have many expletives in the first place doing what I do.
Matt Derrick tweeted about he's run out of adjectives to describe Mahomes.
Yeah.
And somebody said ambidextrous is the one that you need to start using next. And
that's
Matt
awesome.
Came back with a joke and said, well, maybe amphibious too, because you can't convince me that he can't throw the ball left-handed underwater.
Yeah, I like that. Maybe amphibious too. And that's, you know, he just – it was as hard as it could get. It was on the road, and the Denver crowd was in it. I mean, the Chiefs fans, I know Chiefs fans travel all right, but I mean, that crowd was crazy for Denver. I mean, you've got Denver in September and October is always tough because, you know, it's a little more pronounced with the air advantage. And he got it done. And I'm just telling you, when you go back and watch the film, play after play after play. And this is what I really pronounce. And if you, again, take a look at the article and read it, because I demonstrate on film that Denver did everything right on a lot of these plays. Like, say, like the second and 30, right? They did everything right.
Second and 30, third and 16.
Yeah.
They did everything right on that play.
Yep.
And his throw on third and 16 to Tyreek Hill at the 50-yard line.
That was unbelievable.
Tyreek Hill was covered.
Oh, yeah. Harris had terrific coverage. You know, if Mahomes doesn't move to the right there, there's not a window. He had unbelievable coverage. It was in perfect position. And like catches like that are one reason why I track like win percentage for a corner and not just like catches allowed, because that no one should knock Chris Harris for giving up that catch. He had great coverage. It's just a great throw and catch beats great coverage.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. That was so, and that play is a great example. You really nailed it there. They did everything right on that play and they still lost. And that's what should really frighten defenses. There are a lot of plays like this. So say take, you know, the controversial, you know, did the game clock or whatever, the play clock go to zero? For one, third and 12, third and seven, it wasn't going to matter at that point. There's no way.
Exactly, and they're in field goal range at that point.
Yeah, you're never going to convince me that Mahomes, with two plays, because they might have even gone for it. I mean, who knows how they would have tried to play that. They would have gotten it. That it was happening. They were on the wrong side of destiny. And so.
Well, and I'd make the argument that third and that completion actually helped the Broncos to get the ball back.
Yeah, well, because it was so long. Well, and the funny thing is, Harris stumbling and falling, because it was a great throw, him stumbling and falling actually helped the Chiefs. Because had he scored right then, they would have been on the wrong side of the two-minute warning, at least from the Chiefs' point of view. There was a lot going on there. But that's another example, that play. Eventually, it was a blown coverage, right? I think it was Shaq Barrett who didn't carry Harris deep. However, initially, and they had an overload blitz coming from their right side, from Patrick Mahomes' left side, they got pressure, and the coverage initially for the first 3 or 4 seconds was good. It's just like on that second and 16, the coverage there for the first 5 or 6 seconds was good. The second and 30, the coverage for the first 5 or 6 seconds was good.
Well, and there's a play in the first half where Harris is running down the sideline on another play where their coverage was good.
Yep, coverage was
finds them on the sideline.
Yep, coverage was good. That play is a great example because initially Harris was kind of open, but he was short of the sticks and there were two defenders in position to take him, right? So Mahomes kept looking elsewhere and he scrambled, he escapes a sack and he moves until Harris does a great job on the scramble drill. Did exactly what you're supposed to do, right? Got vertical and forced the defender to make a tough choice. That's exactly what he did. You know, say what you will about Harris, and I've said plenty. He made a great decision there. But they did everything right and they still lost. The touchdown, well, should have been a touchdown that DeMarcus Robinson dropped. They did everything right and they still the only reason they won there was because of a drop, right?
The only thing that they could have done better on that play is the first defender that had a chance to get him got juked out of his shorts.
Right. And they played it well. There were so many plays, and these are just the ones that everyone remembers. I put 4 or 5 clips in there that I think people have forgotten. I mean, it was so like that cross his body throw to Kelsey where he was almost or maybe a little over the line of scrimmage there on third down. He converted. It was like 7 or 8 third downs, which is these absurd plays where Denver did everything right, and you just can't defend that. And so here's how this relates back to Jacksonville, because I know we got to pull it together. You can do everything right against Mahomes and the Chiefs. You can get pressure. You can beat Andy Reid's scheme. You can blow up screen passes. You can do everything correctly. You can have good coverage with good pressure with someone shadowing Mahomes to cover if he rolls right, and you'll still lose way too often. That's what's really frightening. I mean, he's now shown that he can operate this offense to a level of efficiency when everything's going right that is just frightening, right? First half of the Niners game, the Steelers game, right? I mean, that was just – it was crazy.
Yep.
But now we know when everything is going wrong around him, he can drag and kick and push the offense to still scoring. They put up 17 points and a half against a defense that was still playing really well. And it would have been 21.
He is a consummate example of a franchise quarterback in that regard.
Yeah.
He brings everybody up around him and even the defense as well at times.
Yeah.
When the defense sees what he is able to do, you have to know that they're that much more fired up to go out there and do their part.
Absolutely.
So, huge game. We need to take another quick break, but we'll be right back after this to talk more about the Jacksonville game and a little bit more about the Denver game. All right, Seth, so I have to ask you this, and then we need to get into the Jacksonville game.
Yep.
Andy Reid, first quarter, fourth down at the 34, at your own 34-yard line.
That was awesome. That was so great. That was so gutsy. I love it.
But what does that say? Is that more he trusts his offense, or is it that he does not trust his defense?
I don't think it says either of those things necessarily. I do think it says he trusts his offense, but I also think there's a certain indication there. I think that shows he trusts his defense too to hold in that situation. But I think that's just an ultimate like, hey, we can do this. Here's one thing with regards to the Chiefs offense. I love what that could indicate. I love the idea of the Chiefs going for it more than any other team, because here's the deal. Their offense is already better than anyone else's offense, except maybe the Rams, right? What would teams think? What do teams want the Chiefs to do? If you're an opposing coach, right? Would you rather the Chiefs on what was it? Was it third and one or third and four? Or fourth and one or fourth and four? I can't remember.
It was third and one, and then it became fourth and one.
Okay. If you're another team and it's fourth and one and the Chiefs have the ball at their own 34-yard line, would you rather they punt it or go for it? I would argue that the vast majority of the time, you would hope that they punt it. And, you know, this is a real simplified way to view football, but sometimes it's kind of like when we talked about Justin Houston dropping into coverage versus rushing the passer. What do you hope they do if you're the opposing team? You hope that they drop into coverage. I would love.
The refs aren't going to call holding on the left tackle.
Exactly. Sorry. Exactly. And so I love that aggression, and I hope it means that we're going to see more of it. Because the reality is, yeah, the defense has struggled a little bit. So, I mean, you know, whatever. Who cares at a certain point? The defense has held up well, holding teams to field goals at times. And the defense seems to, drive by drive, either have it or not. And if they don't have it, it ain't going to matter if it's a 90-yard drive or a 40-yard drive. And if they have it, I don't think it's going to matter much if it's a 90-yard drive or a 40-yard drive. And so I love it, because imagine if we were playing the Rams and beforehand McVay said, we're going to go for it every fourth down. Would you be like thrilled? Like, oh man, this is going to give us so many more chances. Or would you be like, ah, crap, that affects their entire play calling structure. That means they've got four downs. The best offense in the NFL having four downs instead of three downs, it's an entire extra down. You only need to average 3 yards per play to get it. And so I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And I hope to see more of it against the Jaguars. I hope Andy Reid, if he's like at the Chiefs 45 or beyond, I hope he goes for it every time. Unless it's like, you know, fourth and 15 or something crazy. Because –
well, but that was on the 34. That's what was so surprising to me.
I loved it. People were freaking out.
I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I didn't like it. I'm just saying it shocked me, because he had no qualms, didn't think twice about it, and said, no, we're going.
Yeah.
That, I mean, you could tell the offense was staying out there for that play.
Yeah. Yeah. That was stunning. I remember the announcers were freaking out. People on Twitter were just like, holy crap. And they called up a great play, too. And that's one thing.
Oh, yeah, they did.
You know, Reed, by and large, what didn't call a great game against the Broncos, but a few of those play calls were really, really great. But yeah, so, you know, circling it to the Jaguars game. The whole point of this, you know, the stuff with Mahomes. Now, can he play? The question becomes this. Like, let's say Jacksonville plays as well as Denver played on defense. The question becomes, you know, can Mahomes play at that level under that circumstance 2 weeks in a row? Because what makes Aaron Rodgers great is that he can do that all year, right? Maybe not all year. I've never seen a quarterback play at that level all year, the level we're seeing Mahomes play. I really have not, except maybe Rodgers. What was the year Rodgers won MVP and he just played quarterback like no one had ever seen it played? It was like 15 or 14. I don't remember which year it was. Maybe it was 16. Anyway, sorry, I'm caught up in my own head now.
No, I don't think it was 16. I think it was 15. I think you're right.
Yeah, I just remember that. It was like nothing anyone had ever seen. Even though he didn't break the touchdown record, his level of play was so high. I can't believe Mahomes can do that 2 weeks in a row. So that's the one hope Jacksonville has, honestly. Now, or that their offense can do a little more to get a bigger lead. But the reality is Denver built a two-score lead in the fourth.
Yeah, and they let it go, and that was the first time in 66 games that they had let go a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Oh, it was glorious.
Yeah, one thing I will say about this game, you look at what Andy Reid did against the Steelers. Mm-hmm. And to me, you look at what he prepared and how he got that team ready and the play calls that he had. You could tell he had certain things for that team.
Yep.
You cannot tell me that Andy Reid doesn't have something specific for the Jaguars.
Oh, I'm sure he does. With the Jaguars, they're an interesting test in that I don't think, and I could be wrong, I know they'll obviously game plan, and they'll obviously try to take some of the stuff that Denver did well. But, I mean, Jacksonville, they've often bragged about the fact that they do what they do, right? It's kind of like the Seahawks in their heyday. They did what they did. They did not, like, change their defense week in and week out because they didn't need to. The Jaguars are a team that physically can somewhat match the Chiefs, right? And so it would be interesting to see if they do what they normally do. I do think that Andy Reid will chew that up. Now, we'll see, because that is a great defense, tons of speed, great tacklers, great in coverage, great pass rushers, great against the run. They've got the whole nine yards. I'm still mad at Buffalo for trading Darius to them because it's just like, come on, you know.
What I will say, though, in, you know, talking about this Jaguars defense, yes, they're phenomenal. Yes, they're great. They can be beat. And
absolutely,
the thing that helps Kansas City in this game is Jacksonville's offense is not that good. Yes, I understand Kansas City's defense is horrible. But
hey, they held up enough against,
they held up enough. They've held up enough in the games that they've played so far to get four wins. I think that is going to be an advantage for Kansas City. And I do think that they actually get pressure on Bortles. Hopefully Dee Ford is healthy enough and is able to play and play the entire game. Mm-hmm. But another thing I will say that I saw in the Denver game that is exciting for me going forward is they've started to use the rookies. You saw Amani Watts get a huge sack.
Yeah, he did. It's my boy.
And Dorian O'Daniel didn't have any plays that stood out, but he was on the defensive. He was on defense at times.
Right. Well, he's got speed, and they need speed.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens with that. I think Ford, from my understanding, you know, he was practicing. And so I think him and Watkins both were. So hopefully that they're able to play and they're able to go, because I think Watkins able to go will be huge.
Watkins going is bigger, in my opinion, than Ford going because of what he means to this offense and because of the defense they're playing. Generally, right. I wouldn't say that, but with this defense, I do think Watkins is bigger than Ford. And yes, they were practicing, but they're practicing in limited capacity. Now, if I'm them, I'm not having them practice at all. I just have them do walkthroughs and rest and try to get completely healthy for the game because they're both needed for this game. And again, Eric Berry is not practicing, so more than likely he is not playing this week.
Mm-hmm.
But that is what it is, and that's the way it's been.
Yep. That just is what it is. Yep.
Real quick, before we get into predictions, I have to ask you, how bummed were you when you found out about Earl Thomas almost becoming a Chief?
That bummed me out. I thought that could have been a real big deal. That could have really helped a lot with a lot of the issues that they have. So yeah, that was definitely a bummer. To me, what I like about it is, to me, that evidences that they view this as a Super Bowl year, which tells me there might be another really aggressive move coming. You know, the trade deadline's not for another couple weeks, I don't believe. And that's enough. Yeah. And so that's enough time for some team with a talented safety to really play themselves out of contention and maybe give them an opportunity to make an aggressive offer and do something crazy.
We're talking to you, Houston.
Yeah, sure. Houston, Arizona has a couple safeties that I think the Chiefs could use. I mean,
Matthews is what I'm thinking.
And that would be, hey, that would work for me. And so, you know, we'll see what happens. That really did bum me out. As far as predictions go, well, why don't you go ahead and start? I'll reserve mine.
I was deferring to you, sir.
Oh, fine. I've become a believer. I've become a Mahomie. You know, I really thought Kansas City was going to crush Denver, so what do I know? But division games on the road are always tough. I think the Chiefs take this one, and I think it is 30-24. I think the Jaguars offense does a bit more than we expect, but I think, you know, there was a great little diagram that I think like NFL matchup or something put out there saying something's got to give because the Chiefs are like number one in so many categories and the Jaguars are too. Jags have only given up like four touchdowns this year. However, they played the Titans without Mariota. And they've played a number of teams that aren't amazing teams on offense. Now, I'm not saying the Jags defense isn't great, because it is. But they haven't played an offense remotely like the Chiefs. Not even remotely. And at least in terms of playing the Broncos, the Chiefs have at least played a good defense. And I would argue that the Jaguars have not faced an offense that's the equivalent of the Denver Broncos defense. So I think the Chiefs pull away with a win. And I think Arrowhead should. If Arrowhead is not an insane atmosphere Sunday, I'm going to be so upset. The only reason I'm not driving down there, the only reason, is because I was at a game 2 weeks ago and I'm a pastor. I really should not miss church twice in 3 weeks. Twice in 3 weeks. Otherwise, I would be buying tickets right now, because that place should be that place should be ready to unload. Jaguars fans do not travel well. That place should be filled to the brim. And it was a really electric atmosphere at the home opener. And now, after this huge win, I hope that place is shaking. And so I'm excited for it. I think they'll do well.
Well, the stat you're talking about, NFL Today, or NFL Total Access, Patrick Mahomes, since 2017, NFL ranks first in yards per attempt, first in pass plus rush yards per game, first in pass TDs per game, first in passer rating. Jaguars first in yards per attempt, their defense, first in pass plus rush yards per game, first in pass TDs per game, and first in passer rating. So, yeah, something's got to give. Honestly, I don't know that Kansas City scores more than 24 points this game. I think this defense is going to come out and really try to take it to Kansas City early. So I do think that it's going to be closer. I think 24-17 probably Kansas City is my guess.
Either way, it works for me.
There you go. And the Chiefs have a tough schedule over the next couple weeks. Jaguars this week travel to New England, then have the Bengals and the Broncos at home the next 2 weeks. So we're going to know a lot about this team over the next four. Seth, thank you for coming on, and we will talk to you guys next week. Enjoy the game.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.